This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. These nice, cool mornings.
Oh.
Agree with me?
Yes.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Fall is coming. It's around the corner.
It is. It's the nice, sweet time of year where you have those nice, crisp mornings, and then it gets a little bit warm in the afternoon, but not overly hot, not a heat wave, nothing like that. It's a nice contract. It's just that perfect little sweet spot. That hint of fall is in the air, and it's a magical time of year.
I think it is. And, we'll have all the wonderful pumpkins pretty soon. We'll have all the fall foods. You've got all these towns that are having all these festivals. You know, a lot of things to go to, a lot of things to do.
Mm.
And, get everybody off their backside.
Oh, boy. Well, when it gets too hot, and you get in those droughts, because you were for a while, you were talking about how hot it was and it's just no break and it was dry. And then you had the fires and then you had all these things that were going on. And now we're kind of like, it seems like we're past that and we're getting into a nice spot. And, you get fair season, you start to get outside and you start to enjoy those things and you're comfortable outside. And yeah, it's a great time of year. The holidays are right around the corner, but that's too soon.
That's right. Well, we've got all of our nets up. We've got our volleyball net up. We've got all the different things. We got them up where they can play outside and do all these things they need to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You can go outside and actually be comfortable and kind of, because you, I'm sure, hunkered down for a little while during the heat and the fires and all that. This is like the going back outside time. It's almost like spring all over.
Yeah. They've got a soccer deal. And now you're not going to believe this. This little school is going to start basketball in November, starting with first grade.
Really?
Yes. And of course, the little first grader, he does play basketball. He can hit the goal, but I wouldn't think he was ready for basketball, but they're going to start him in basketball. And I can just see all them having games, at this age.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that'd be, it's awfully young.
Yeah, I think that's a little early.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's way too young. And I don't even know how it'll come out. Maybe it'll just be a fun time. Maybe it'll just be fun.
We're not worried about a winning record at this point. It's just having a good time.
No, I don't think so. Oh, my gosh.
Building sportsmanship. Lord. That's what it's all about.
Maybe that's what it's about. Just, teaching them a good sportsmanship.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. How to play well with others so that when they get older, at like regular basketball age, they'll already have a good foundation.
Well, and the little one, I've been telling him every morning, be kind one to another. Do not hit anyone. Walk away. That's my new deal. Walk away. Do not get in a fight. Walk away. He thought he was going to be expelled this week.
Oh, really?
Yes, he hit a little boy.
Oh,
and,
no.
The vice principal called. This is a six-year-old. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
He hits it. What did the kid
do?
It
was embarrassing to be called. And he said, Mimi, I thought I was going to be expelled.
Oh, no.
I said, well, you probably almost were.
Oh, Lord. That'll wake him up in a hurry. Wow.
And I said, I don't care what the little boy does or says. You do not hit. I don't care what happens. You walk away.
Wow. And he's six.
We're not going to stay and fight. We're going to walk away.
I don't remember having that conversation when I was six. It was a few years later.
That's right. You know, I've never had to tell a six-year-old or any little child that young, you know, walk away.
Yeah.
You know, don't lose your temper. And, you know, I don't care what the little boy did or said, you don't hit him.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah. And he did, and I said, you better be thankful that little boy's mother doesn't know who you are. I mean, she might come and hit me. She might make an example of us.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. All and you know he told his mother.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the principal had to call her and say, you know, this little boy has hit your little boy, and we're sorry. And I'm just thankful they didn't say who it was.
Yeah.
But I'll bet the little boy probably told his mother.
I'm sure. Wow. But you haven't had any. Yeah. What was that? That was Tuesday, right? You said Tuesday, I think?
Yes, and I haven't had anybody call me.
Good.
Yes, very good. I mean, I don't want to be called.
Yeah. Watch for like rabbits on the stove or weird things like that. Keep an eye out. Look in your rearview mirror just to make sure. Wow.
That's right. Be sure that she doesn't know who I am.
I bet you were shocked when you found out that. Who called first? Did the school call first, or did he tell you himself first?
No, the school called first.
Oh.
And told me about it.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. I can't imagine.
And when he got in the car, he started telling me. He said, I'm in such trouble.
Oh,
he said, I think I almost got expelled.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord. He had to go to the principal's office. He was scared to death.
Ooh.
And he realized that he had really done something really bad.
Mm.
And the bad thing is, it was a third grader he hit.
Really?
Yeah. He had a boy much bigger than him.
Wow. Boy,
and I don't know what it was over. I didn't even ask.
Well,
I don't know what was said or what happened. I just said, oh, my gosh, we never hit anybody, no matter what happens.
Jeez.
We just walk away.
In high school, you know, fights were always over a girl or something. So I don't know if maybe the bar has changed and maybe the age got younger, or maybe it was over like a kickball thing or a lunch thing. I don't even know what you could possibly
fight
about.
I should have asked him what it was over, and I didn't. I was so upset that he'd hit a little boy that I just said, oh, this is so bad, so terrible. I said, you know, we just, so every morning going to school, I've been saying, be kind one to another. We do not hit anybody, no matter what. Remember that.
Wow. I bet it probably scared him on the straight and narrow, though. That's possible.
I think it did, because talking to the principal scared him to death.
Yeah.
He said, Mimi, I thought I was going to be expelled.
Oh, wow.
I said, I think you almost were.
Yeah. Jeez.
This school is strict. And I said, oh, my gosh, you just can't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine there's
but
a lot of fighting.
I couldn't imagine what he would have got, him and the little boy got so mad at each other about that Lucas hit him.
I don't know. Boy, at that age, you know, geez. And to hit a third grader, that's...
Yeah, he hit a third grader. That made a lot bigger than him.
Apparently, he has no fear.
He had no fear about the size. Apparently, he thought the boy had done something bad, and he just lit into it.
He just took care of it himself.
Oh, wow. He took care of it himself.
Oh, my word. Wow, that's a conversation I'm sure you'd never planned on having.
I did not plan on having that. I did not plan on anything. Us getting a bad review, you know. And, of course, you know, the teacher wrote up a deal about it. The principal called us. I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't funny when you talked to him. We laugh about it now.
But... We can laugh now, but that day it was not funny.
Ooh, Lord.
Oh,
man.
Gosh.
When we did something in school, it was bad enough. It's like if the school called or sent a note, that was one thing. It was always worse when we always got, well, wait till your father get home. Or wait till, you know, so-and-so find out. It was like,
that's exactly right.
Oh, man.
And me, I'm going, oh, my gosh, we got to go home and talk about this.
Yeah. Sit down, get comfortable, or fixing to have a conversation. Oh, wow.
Yep, we had to have a long conversation.
Well, other than the fight,
a lot of threats.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. If this happens again.
A lot of threats. Yeah, and I told him what his punishment was going to be, you know.
Oh, boy.
I said, you know, we just don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully he's learned his lesson.
I hope so.
We all make mistakes.
You know, it's a long time since I've had a little boy around.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so shocked. I had to really think about it, you know.
Wow.
Oh,
well,
Lord.
That's interesting. Other than that, all the fighting and hitting and whatnot, how's everything else? Everything else nice and cool, calm, normal?
Everything else is fine. You know, we're working hard every day. Things are going along. We had one of the maturities hit this week, by the way. And it was the Demira policy, $2 million. It's now in their bank accounts.
Nice.
So that's a nice thing. And then a Muzell. Let me talk about Muzell. You know, we've got all the policies transferred from Bank of Utah over to Nevada Trust. Muzell is still not showing up, and I'm getting calls about it. And they can call Nevada Trust, and they will verify it's in your account, that it's just not showing up yet because there's still some paperwork they don't have done. And they said it'll be done shortly. But I've had to send emails to customers this week and say, call up there and talk to Philip Kingman. He will verify it's in your account. It's just not showing up.
So it's there.
And,
it's just
that's
pending.
The last one. Yeah, it's pending. Hmm. Everything else is showing up. We're in great shape. But that one policy does not show up.
Wow.
And it's there. We know that. We know it's not at the other place. But remember, Muzell is big. There is $6 million worth of policies in the Muzell portfolio.
Jeez.
So that's why I think it's taking so much extra time, you know, to get that in there.
Mm. Wow. It doesn't happen very often, but sometimes those things will happen. It's normal. It's part of the process, but it will be all taken care of and everything is fine. No need to panic. No need to worry.
No, it's there. It's just not showing up. But when you call, they can physically go and look and verify your policy. That's the nice thing. They have it. They just don't have it online yet.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, the actual documents are there. It's just not online yet. Ooh. So anyway, anybody wants to call, feel free to call Philip Kingman at Nevada Trust. He will verify it's there. It's in your account.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's the only one anybody's concerned about. All the rest are in. They're showing up. We don't have a problem.
Okay, cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
How is the status with everything else? How are we looking? Are people, you know, panicking over the stock market? I mean, there was a big drop. What was it? Tuesday, I think?
Tuesday was the big drop. It dropped over 1,000 points. There was $1 billion lost on Tuesday.
Good Lord.
$1 billion. Mm. And that was just five stocks.
Jeez.
Those five stocks were $1 billion lost.
My goodness.
So the rest of it is even bigger. And Morgan Stanley says it's going to drop another 27%.
Really?
So would you want to be in the stock market?
No. Oh, my God, no. Wow.
I mean, a person with a lot of intelligence right now, I believe, would bail out of that thing. You could go back later, maybe 5 years or 2 years or something. But I believe I would bail out of that son of a gun right now. The losses are going to be tremendous.
And they
talked this week, the accountants did, about what the average family extra money is costing them to live. They said it's up to $500 a month extra.
Really?
The average person is having trouble paying their utility bills. That's what's really hurting everybody. Their utility bills have went up so much that they're struggling right now to pay those.
Jeez.
Now, we're talking about the average American that makes $40,000 a year. Yeah. We're not talking about people that make $200,000 or $300,000. We're talking about the average Joe on the street.
Well, you know, it's weird. I saw a report this week that talked again about how gas prices are coming down, but everything else is still going up, which is, it seems like it's almost, when that's going on, it's like ripping a scab off. It sounds like a very unique situation, because usually when gas prices come down, delivery fees go down, it costs less to transport products, and then, you know, the prices of groceries especially will come down, and then people will start feeling that in their pocket. When just one thing comes down but everything is still going up, it almost seems like it's going to put a lot of tension and a lot of stress on the situation and the system, and it seems like it's almost going to create like a hole that a lot of people might fall into. It's like, well, yeah, we're saving a little bit on gas, but all these other things were falling further and further behind, and they may not be able to catch up. Do they see maybe, I don't want to say doom on the horizon, but do they see this playing out, or can we come out of this tailspin?
Well, everybody's worried because, with inflation, depression, I mean, we don't know where it's going to end. Let me give you an example. I needed a new trash compactor. Now, how much did you pay for the last trash compactor you bought?
Oh, geez. I have no idea.
Well, the last time I remember, seems like it was $500. I mean, I know it was a long time ago, and I don't remember how much they were. Well, trash compactors now start at $1,200 to $1,300. They go to $1,800 for a trash compactor.
Really?
Okay. And that's inflation. But let me tell you another thing. You've got to be able to get one first. Uh-oh. I ordered one, and guess what they told me? We don't have them in the store. I called 5 stores. No, we don't have them. Everything has to be ordered. We don't have them. Our suppliers can't get here with them. And I said, well, when would it be here? It would not be here till October 26th.
Really?
It would take 2 months to get it here, and they don't even guarantee that. So we have a supply problem as well as a rise of prices. If you can't get them, what are they going to do about selling things? Because your big, huge stores like Lowe's, Home Depot, Ferguson, all these big companies, they don't have the products right now. They can't even get them.
Wow.
So it's shocking to me that a lot of these things they can't even get.
I'm just sitting here playing this out in my brain. It's just like, man, the items that people want, they can't get them. And which means that the store can't sell them. So if the store can't sell them, then they're not going to make that money, which means they could eventually, you know, have serious financial problems. Because we keep seeing this over the last, year or even two, that so many major companies are filing bankruptcy and going out of business. And now this situation, where's all the stuff? I mean, what's happening? What's the supply problem? Is it? It's not that they can't get it.
It's transportation, getting it here.
Really?
And apparently they're charging an arm and a leg to bring it, but they're not even bringing it and stocking it. You know, usually everything's right there in the store. You can get what you want, whatever it is, hardware, whatever. But a lot of these items are not available now. You can't get it. And they promising you in 2 to 3 months that you might could have it. It's like cars. You go to the car dealership, and they say it'll have to be ordered. We don't have the new cars like we did before. And they're buying used cars up like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they can sell used cars because they're local. They're right here. But it's just amazing to me that all these other things are not available. And then when you go to the grocery store, food has gone up tremendously.
Mm. Yeah, I know,
and
we were talking about meat.
That's if you can get everything. Yeah. And you talk about beef, how high it's gotten.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pork. And they say there's going to be a big pork shortage.
Really?
So, yes. So I don't know where we're going to end up on all this, you know, how it's going to play out, what we're going to actually have.
Wow. It sounds like this is uncharted territory on a number of different reasons. It's almost like you address one situation and then boom, you're hit with three more. You address each of those and you hit with three more. It just seems like this like a ripple effect, I guess, that, you know, it started out as something small and now it's turning into all these other areas that probably have never really been seen, at least all in one time, probably ever. Is that fair to say, do you think? It seems
it is. And, you know, we've talked about it before. Fertilizer, they can't get it over here. It comes from Europe. You know, I've talked to the suppliers and said, okay, I need hay. And they're saying, we're not doing hay right now. We don't have any hay. And so hay's went up a tremendous amount. Hay's went from $125 a big roll to $194.
Good Lord.
I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. So if hay costs more, that costs everybody. Everybody has different kinds of animals. You know, animals is a big deal in our country. I mean, you know. And so you have to be able to feed your animals. So you have to buy all this. And people are not able to raise enough feed right now because of the drought. And a lot of people told me they weren't even going to do you know, all the different kinds of hay. They're just going to do coastal.
Wow. Man.
So things are going to get tight as, you know, I think this winter, I think it's going to get kind of tight. And I think the supply of clothing is going to be really tight because it's like everything else. The supplies didn't get here in time, and now they've got an overabundance of the summer things. They're having to sell those, really discount those. So it's hurting these companies because they're not making the profit they should be making because now they've got the oversupply of summer clothes, and it's fall.
Yeah.
We're already into fall. You've got to have your fall merchandise out. And a lot of them don't have it, don't even have it.
Jeez. Well, in the holiday season, you know, the Christmas shopping season kicks off. I mean, I'm starting to see some little minor ads here and there. They're positioning like they're trying to recycle like the Black Friday types of specials and deals just to get rid of, you know, the stuff that they're just now getting in for summer. So how does this affect holiday shopping? Because it starts, you know, really within several weeks, the holiday.
And they better already have it. You know, some of them are really good. They got theirs a long time ago. I got emails this week from Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus wanting to know if they could come during the summer, fall.
Really?
How bad things are. Santa is putting the word out. I need to come early. I need to come often. You know, he's not busy at the North Pole.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, that's how bad things are when Santa wants to come early. He said, let me come and see. At least the Easter Bunny didn't send out a message.
Jeez.
If the Easter Bunny had sent a message, I would be laughing, you know?
Wow. Wow. I've never heard of Santa Claus wanting to reschedule Christmas.
Yes, he wants to come now. And we're saying, no, Santa, stay in the North Pole. Don't come.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Life is interesting.
Well, it makes me wonder if maybe Rudolph ran away for a minute.
Well, he might have. He might have just said, you know, I'm going union. And that's another thing we haven't talked about. The trains, you know, were being held up by the big unions. You know, that's mostly up north. That's mostly in Chicago. Freight comes here. But who would think that the unions say we're just not getting it, our people aren't getting paid enough. And railroads get paid high dollars. I've known some people that work for the railroad. They retired with over $1 million. So I know they pay a lot of money on the railroads, but but they've been on strike. So, you know, if, when people strike, it costs us all. It doesn't matter what industry it is. When they go on strike, even though they get more money before it's over, it never comes back. Because the time they were off, they lost all that money while they were off. How do they make it up?
Jeez. I read something the other day.
I just can't figure that out.
That fast food wages are going up as well. And just to try to keep up, the other thing I saw is that as prices rise, people who are in salaried positions, their pay is not rising with it. And so the companies that they work for aren't making as much money, so they can't afford to give them raises to overcompensate for inflation. So people who are on salary are, you know, sometimes kind of like caught in the middle. Where, yeah, they've got a decent salary at one point, like a year ago, it was a great salary. Now they're starting to fall behind. I'm also seeing where some people who are working, because there are still some companies that work remotely, where some people are so desperate that they've taken remote jobs, but they're doing two full-time remote jobs at the same time without the other companies knowing. So just to try
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes.
You can't, it's hard to do a good job when you're doing two of those.
It is.
But, and you know, I've noticed I've went in places lately and there was no help.
Really?
There was absolutely no help. I went in two or three places and there was two people working. That's all there was. And one guy was in this half of the store and the other guy was in the other half, and that's all they had.
Wow.
So people are suffering from no employees. And everybody asks me, Faye, where'd they go? I don't know. I can't figure it out. Because they're not at these stores. Kroger this week had nobody to sack groceries even.
Really?
There was no one to sack groceries.
Jeez.
You had to do your own.
That's never happened.
I mean, no, never. They didn't have any help.
Wow.
And I was in some retail stores and needed some help. There was nobody. There's just, you know, just flat wasn't anybody there.
You know, it's so weird. I saw I forget if it was this week or last week, but I saw the unemployment numbers and, you know, they improved, you know, again, they didn't improve as much as what they thought they would, but they still improved greatly. And so it's just like people are working. It's just, but where are they?
We don't know. We can't find them.
I don't know where they are.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And the stock market, you know, it's just, I mean, it's went down so bad and so far. When it lost 1,000 points on Tuesday, I go, oh, my word.
Wow.
You know?
And they're predicting
I
27%, I think is what you said. They predicted.
Morgan Stanley said they're predicting another 27% loss.
Wow. Is there can the market actually handle a 27% loss in the market? I don't know if that would break it or not.
I think it would might cause a lot of people to jump ship.
You don't know how to say
that. If they haven't jumped ship yet, they better get the heck out of Dodge.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's what I'd be doing. I'd say, you know, enough is enough. Let's liquidate. Let's get to safety, folks.
Yeah.
In more ways than one.
Jeez.
Yeah, stop the bleeding. And our politics in this country is just a mess.
Wow.
So you add that to the mix. You say, okay, we got the politics that's just really screwy. We've got inflation over here. We've got depression over here. Let's get this turned around and get a positive deal going and all make some money.
Wow.
You know, if everybody would pull together, if everybody'd stop all this, just think what America could do. We can't give everything away. People have to pay their own way. You know, when you want to give everything free, it will break a country.
Oh, yeah.
We need some positive thinkers that say, okay, we're not giving another dime away. You come out here and you work and we'll pay you. Simple.
So are we talking
about...
If
you don't work, you don't get paid.
Do they use the D word again? For a while, they were talking about possible full-blown depression. Are they back on that train, or do they not know?
They don't really know. Some of them say it'll be softer landing, and some say it won't. you know, we don't know. We all just have to do our best to work hard, put money in every day that we can, and we just can't trust everybody. That's the problem. We can't just say, let's put our head in the sand. We'll ignore everything that's happening. The preacher on Sunday said, you know, if you want America to be a free country, you need to get your head out of the sand and do something about it.
Mm.
You know, what he was saying is people that just go to church on Sunday, they go through job on Monday, and they ignore everything that's around them. The sky is falling and you wouldn't even know it. I mean, you know, look up.
Stop.
There may be a bird flying over your head, you know?
Yeah. Stop looking down at your phone and look up.
That's right. Look up. See what is actually happening. Open your ears up and say, you know, I think I want to make a difference. I don't want everything to crash.
Yeah.
And I want to do something about it.
Yeah. Come together.
And, you know, used to. Yeah. Come together and say, you know, this is our country. It should be a free country, one that where everybody can work and make a living and live in peace. I'm tired of all the crime.
Oh.
All this crime is just, it's gotten ridiculous. We've never had crime like this in our country.
I know it. Not on this level.
And on this level is horrible. And it's because do-gooders are just ignoring it, and they want to pretend like it's not happening.
Yeah. Well,
they
times
don't even think we have a crisis on the border.
Oh, geez.
How far can your head be in the sand? You know?
It's like every time we go into like recessions or, you know, have massive inflation or we're on the verge of depression, and people, when they can't afford the stuff that they need to afford, even simple things like groceries and utility bills and stuff, people get desperate and they start, you know, they start going out and they start doing things that they normally wouldn't do. Desperate. What is it? Desperate times calls for desperate measures, I think is what the saying is. And so, yeah, I mean, it all kind of seems to go in sync with each other. You know, as financial strain grows, so does crime. And so I don't know, is there any hope, or are we just kind of like, I mean, what where do we go from here?
Well, it depends if people get off their butt and say, you know, I'm gonna get out here and I'm gonna quit just being passive. I'm gonna look things up. I'm gonna get involved. I think that's the other thing, getting involved in your country. You know, a lot of people don't even remember to vote. They're not supporting people. They're not saying, you know, it's going to take a lot of money to pull this off. What are we going to do? Well, my gosh, give what you can. Try to help. Read up about what these people believe. See, that's another thing. Nobody even knows who's running half the time. They don't look it up. They don't study it. They don't say, well, you know, this guy believes this. This guy believes that. This is what I believe.
Mm, yeah, that's
you
true.
Have to have some beliefs. You got to believe in something.
Besides,
you know?
Santa Claus.
There you go. If you don't believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, you're done. You're done.
Wow. And now Santa Claus may be postponing Christmas. So now what do you do?
Yeah, he wants to come early. I mean, he's so desperate. He's saying, let me come now. And we're going, no, no, no. We're not ready.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we take a break and get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
It's very interesting. It's the Cattle Queen of Texas.
Ooh.
You didn't even know. The Cattle Queen of Texas was Elizabeth Lizzie Johnson Williams. She's the first woman to ride the Chisholm Trail on her own.
Really?
This is back when men did everything. Women stayed home, raised babies, cooked, washed, but not Lizzie. Lizzie was a woman way beyond her years. I mean, she would have fit in nowadays. She was born in 1840. She spent her life defying convention. She wasn't like other women. When women were, as I said, expected to stay home, Lizzie was making a name for herself. She first went to work for all these cattlemen, and she kept books for them. And she saw that they were growing rich off of selling all this meat. So she saw the profit, and, you know, she was a teacher. She was very educated. She taught around Austin, Texas. And she said, you know, I think I can do this as well as any man. So on June 1st, 1871, she registered her own cattle brand.
Really?
The CY. Yeah, the CY.
Oh, wow.
So that was the first thing she did. And she had a keen eye for cattle. So she started buying and selling cattle. She had all these cowboys working for her. And then in 1879, she married Hezekiah Williams. Now, she took a business-like approach to getting married, and just like she did commerce. And she told him, we're going to do a prenuptial agreement that guaranteed her sole ownership of everything she owned. Now, how many women, I mean, even in the 20s, would have known to do a prenuptial agreement?
Wow, she was a pioneer.
This was a heck of a pioneer, heck of a woman. She could do anything a man could do. Now, her husband is a cattleman. He made poor financial decisions, and she was always having to bail him out. So the legend goes she would steal her husband's cattle and brand them as her own. She was a heck of a lady. And she felt like he was going to lose them anyway. So they were mismatched in business, of course, but they were devoted to each other. And they each one would have their own herds, their own money, and they would drive them together up the Chisholm Trail. And even though they traveled together, she had her brand, he had his brand. She was the only woman who would ever brave the Chisholm Trail as a woman and go to market.
Wow.
And that's what earned her the name Cattle Queen of Texas, because she was driving them to Dodge City, Kansas City. She was making money just like any man would do. And she repeated the trail many times because it was hard for a man, much less a woman, to be on a horse all day long, you know, out in the hot sun and the cold nights. So then, in addition to that, she started buying real estate.
Really?
And she did it just like she did everything else, just like she did steers. She bought several ranches in Austin and Culberson and Jeff Davis counties, and ran these ranches just like she did the trails, going to Dodge City every year, selling her cattle. Now, when she died in 1924, she was worth $250,000 in 1924. And they said that would be $3 million in today's time.
Oh, wow. Nice.
But only men occupied the cattle ranches back then. She dealt with men every day. And they got used to dealing with her. They could see that she was as smart as any of them.
Maybe smarter.
And that she wasn't just, yeah, maybe so. Because this is a young woman, and she did all this. You know, she had enough education to teach, and I guess that's what gave her the financial background that she needed to go and do this. And if she hadn't been keeping books for those men, she wouldn't have known how much they were making. And that's what spurred her to do this. She said, if they can make this kind of money, I'll bet I can do it too. So, and she learned how to gauge the cattle, how to buy them, how to fatten them up, and then drive them to market and get all that cash.
Wow.
So, Cattle Queen of Texas, Lizzie Williams.
Jeez. It almost sounds like she could do...
Long before
Yeah.
Yeah, long before women were ever doing anything like this.
Wow. She was doing man stuff better than men.
Yes. She really was. And there's a lot of stories about her and her life. She never had any children.
Hmm.
I guess she was too busy for that.
Yeah, clearly.
Because she was creating an empire. And can you imagine, she bought all these ranches. I don't know how she managed to run all of them. But she owned several ranches, had probably 1,000 head of cattle altogether.
Jeez.
And would take them to market, get her money, and come home.
Man, back in the 1800s.
It just shows what a woman can do when she puts her hand to it.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. You make up your mind and you can do just about anything. But boy, especially for back then. I mean, right now things are a little bit different. But back in the 18, what was she born in, 1840-ish? I think is what she said. And so it's like that was unheard of back then. So for her to even think that she could.
Yeah, 1840. I mean, I can't even imagine a man being able to do all the things she did. And she started with nothing.
Yeah.
She started with nothing and saved up her money while she was working for those cattlemen and started buying cattle, bought her a ranch, and then said, we're going to hit the trail.
Man.
And her old husband wasn't smart, you know. she knew he was going to lose money. And so she just steal his cattle and put her brand on them and take them home to market. And I love that she kept their money separate. That was a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Since he couldn't manage money, he didn't need any anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Back then, I'm sure the man was the one that did the prenup, not the woman. And so for her to even...
Oh, yeah, back then. And I never even heard of a man doing a prenup back then. I'm sure if I looked it up, there was some, but I was shocked that a woman would think of doing that.
Yeah. Wow.
She didn't want anybody to touch her assets, her cattle, her ranches, anything. And the cowboys all worked for her, and they didn't mind working for a woman.
Which was weird back then, too. That would have been odd.
That is. Yeah, because a lot of men wouldn't even work for a woman.
Mm-mm. No way.
And they didn't have any objection. They worked for her. She paid them. And she got on those cattle drives and rode a horse all day, just like a man would.
Jeez. It's really smart, you know, for her to, you know, be the bookkeeper, look at those numbers and have some thing go off in her head that says, hey, I could make a lot of money if I were to do this. And then, because most people, I would assume back then, would have, even if they had noticed that and said, wow, these guys are making a lot of money, I wonder if I could too, they would have probably shut down and said, no, that's just for men. As a woman, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. That's not my thing. You know, it's you know, that's all men stuff. And for her to just blow right through that, you know, crash through the glass ceiling, I guess, and say, you know, I can do this. There's no reason why I can't. And that just to go full force ahead and do it. It's just, I mean, that was a big deal for back then.
It was a really big deal because most women, they would work in a millinery store or a little grocery store or, you know, little things like that. They didn't advance much. They didn't have the opportunities. Remember, they couldn't even vote back then.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, women had no rights, really, anywhere in the country. And she just took it upon herself to give herself these rights just alongside men. And I'm going to do it, and you can't stop me type deal. So I think she was a heck of a lady. And that's why they named her Cattle Queen of Texas, because there wasn't anybody else doing it, not anybody smart enough.
Yeah.
Men made all the decisions. They made all the money. And here she comes along right beside him and makes a lot of money, had a lot of property. And once she started, she never went broke. And, you know, you're always hearing stories of men having to start over two or three times back then.
Oh, yeah.
But not her. She made it work.
Wow. Yeah, she's just, not only did she just have the bravery to go through with all that, but she had the smarts to develop whatever skills she needed and gain whatever resources she needed to put it all together to make it all happen. It's just, it's fascinating what she was able to do. It's a big thing now. It's an extra big thing for back then when women just didn't do that. That's really cool.
Yeah, they did. They had no rights. I mean, most of them wouldn't even dare think about going and starting to raise cattle, or going up the Chisholm Trail. You remember, they've always talked about how hard it was. You had outlaws, you had everything in the world on the way, you know, stealing people's cattle, rustling them, and none of that happened to her.
Yeah. Man,
you know,
you can't just be a little sissy.
No, you can't. You got to be tough.
Yeah. Wow. That's.
And I can tell you a story. Years ago, when I was a very young girl and been married very long, they had a trail drive. It was like 3 or 4 days, from like Spearman, Texas, to Canadian, Texas. And I went on that with my husband and a bunch of other people, and I thought I would die. I mean, it was so hard riding a horse every day, all day long to get there. I would have rather walked. I mean, it was that bad. So I can imagine this poor woman sitting a horse every day, day after day, a month going up the Chisholm Trail. I can imagine how rough it was doing that.
So you've seen firsthand how brutal it can be.
It was brutal. I didn't find it funny or good. I didn't find anything about it funny, let me tell you. Now, all these people said they were having fun, but I was not having fun.
It was nothing funny about
that. I was so tired, so wore out. No, it was not anything funny.
Wow.
And I would have never done it the second time.
Wow.
I can tell you that.
And that was only for a couple of days. It was nowhere near.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it was just this fun outing for everybody. And I did not find it funny or anything about it. My backside was wore out. It was tired. It was sore. Oh. And all I wanted to do is get in a car.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get in a car.
Some air conditioning and some lemonade.
That's right. And some liniment. I needed liniment, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a tough deal.
Jeez.
And all these people that make it out to be romantic and all this, they're not talking to me. I've already tried that, and I didn't like it.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't find it funny, I'll tell you.
I'm sure somebody paid the price for a while. You did
That's
not
right.
let them forget.
That's right, for suggesting I do this. It was a bad suggestion all the way around.
Wow. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Well, it was probably meant as a nice gesture. It just didn't go up that
yes,
way.
It was.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Before trivia, we were kind of painting the landscape of the way things are and the way things may be going. There is, I guess, some I hate to say it like this, but there is some good news for those who are looking for a lifeline. If you're looking at, you know, all the scenario of everything that's happening between inflation and prices and job situations and economy stuff and stock market stuff, people are saying, you know, really, when we put it all in focus like that, we need to probably make some changes, but what options do we have? There are some things that are sustainable where people not only can just stop the bleeding, but they can also thrive very well, and that rests within life settlements. The big reason, I would say, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's because the life settlement has nothing to do with the stock market. No matter what happens on Wall Street, no matter what happens with inflation or the economy, nothing will affect a life settlement because it's all in a life insurance policy.
That's right. And a life insurance policy, you know you're going to get paid. You always get paid. The life insurance companies pay off. That's what I love about the investment. We're not looking at me. We're looking at the life insurance company. We buy the policies. We know that the life insurance company is going to pay off, and that's why we do it. And that's why, like right now, we've had so many maturities. People are getting paid not every day, but every 2 or 3 weeks right now because we have so many maturities. We've got another 5 million, I think, coming in maturities. We've got about 6 more policies that have matured and they're not in the bank yet. So this is the biggest amount of maturities we've had in a long time. And the good thing about a life settlement, it's a fairly short term. You know, it's 2 years, 1 year, maybe 4 years. I know that there's people now buying policies that are going to 12 years out. They obviously don't want the money for a long time, you know. So that means they bought it a lot cheaper, probably because it was long term. But we've got some of the best policies right now coming that we've ever had. The premiums are great. The policies are great. It's a good time to be in this business. And what I like is the returns. Now, the one that just went in the bank, it came in early. It was called Demure. That was the $2 million that went in the bank yesterday. So they made 34% in approximately a year. So that
wow.
was a good deal.
That's
that,
a great
that came
return.
In really well. Yeah. And so when we sent it out to people yesterday, we were telling them, do you realize this thing came in early? We never used any of our escrowed premium even because it wasn't necessary. And that doesn't happen every day, but it was a good one. We've had several that came in early, and then we had several that were late that came in. But they all came in. They all got paid. They all got their principal plus their interest. So I think it's a good, safe investment. It's we don't ever tell anybody they're going to get rich overnight. Like the stock market tells you that sometimes. That's not going to happen. It's good, steady returns, good, steady income. We have a lot of people that are getting a lot of income right now off their investments. And they're saying, get us in some policies. You know, they want that money turned. And their interest coming in all the time. So that's what we're trying to do. But a life settlement is so much safer to me than the stock market. It can't go down 1,000 points in one day. It can't go down any. That's the nice thing about a life settlement. It never goes down. It'll just sit there steady. When they pass away, you get paid. And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah, your principal is protected and safe. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're with a life insurance company that's worth billions and billions of dollars. It's not like some small company from Podunk, you know. We don't even do business with any small companies. And when we buy a policy, we look it up to see how much that insurance company's worth. We always check it. We always check their rating, see what their rating is. And, you know, from time to time, we get the best policies in the industry. And then when it comes due, everybody gets paid. We do it again. And I don't know how much better an investment could be.
You know, you kind of touched on something there because it really does kind of put things in perspective. No matter what the economy looks like, no matter what, you know, inflation looks like, stock market looks like, I've never heard of ever a policy just in regular daily life, a policy maturing. And then, you know, the insurance company says, you know, the market's not so great. We're only going to pay like 45% of the policy this time. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah, they don't do that.
No.
They do what they agree to do. They're going to pay the face amount. Sometimes we have trouble. They're going to take an extra 30 days or 15 days, and we have to call them sometimes and say, okay, we know you're not looking at this the right way. Come on, let's get this done. And that check will just come right away then. But, you know, when we put out the policy, we show everybody how long it's supposed to be, what's wrong with them, what kind of cancer it is. And we've had, it seems like right now, more maturities than we've ever had in our life. So I know that a lot of these people, their cancer is going the wrong way. And we've had three that rescinded because they died before we could even get the paperwork finished.
Wow.
So those people waited too long to sell their policies. They should have started the process earlier.
You cut it a little bit close.
They cut it too close. They really did.
there are risks because there's, like you've said before, there are risks with everything you do. When you get up in the morning, you cross the street, you know, there are risks with everything in life. And it's always a good idea to kind of go over the risks about with a life settlement. Really, when I think people hear this, it's going to be a little bit shocking. They're going to go, well, compared to the stock market, this is nothing. So what would you say is the first biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it can go over. You're going to have to pay premiums that goes over. So always make sure of what the premiums are going in. We always tell you up front what it's going to be per quarter if it goes over. That's your biggest risk. If it goes over, you're going to have to pay premiums until it matures. And it could go over a year, 2 years, 3 years. It could happen. But if the premium is very small, it will not hurt you. We've got some that were larger than others, but we don't anymore. We're not buying any policies with a large premium. We're trying to keep all of them at a minimum, where that if it goes over, you won't even notice it. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing to protect you. Everybody has every protection in the world with these contracts. And you have a guarantee that you're going to get your money and your interest.
And those, if a policy does go over, you do escrow for some of that. So it's not like people are...
We're going to escrow an extra year.
Yeah.
So unless it goes over an extra year, it won't cost you anything because we have that escrow in place to protect you, to take care of it. The other risk is, remember, it's not liquid until it matures. So always remember that. And I think everybody knows that. But when it matures, it's liquid again. If you need to get a new pickup or something, you can take it out of your funds. I've had two people buy new pickups, by the way.
Really?
One of them had the pickup for 11 years, folks.
Oh, geez.
And would not turn loose the money to get a new pickup. He said his wife did not know he was going to get a new pickup, but he said, it just doesn't matter. I need a new pickup.
the time came.
The time came, he had to have it. So he came and put in a request for cash. He got the cash, but I don't know what kind of pickup he bought.
Right. To do a life settlement, you do need to be accredited, though. So when you take that into consideration, you weigh that against the minimal risks. It even kind of solidifies that this is a really good conservative investment. So what does it mean to be accredited?
You must make $200,000 a year, and you can include your bonuses in that. Or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay.
That's a government rule. The government says we want everybody to be in this to be accredited. We want them to either make $200,000 a year or we want them to be worth $1 million without their homes. Yeah. And then our minimum investment is $100,000.
Okay. Does things change if you know, because I know if, you know, a single person wants to come in and do the investment, but sometimes you have couples come in, you know, like husbands and wives, sometimes family members, but a lot of times husbands and wives will come in. Does that change the dynamic at all?
Well, if let's say the husband's not making $200,000, but the two of them together are making $300,000, we'll qualify.
Okay.
So if each one's making $100,000. And one's making $200,000, it'll be fine.
Okay.
So, but they can come in if the husband's making $200,000, they're in great shape.
All right. Okay, so it sounds like, you know, this might be something that probably a lot of people are interested in. I know a lot of times when we talk, you'll say, oh, geez, you know, we had a whole bunch of, you know, new investors come over. They've been listening for a long time. They've been looking at their portfolio. They're looking at, you know, projections for, you know, like this might be another one of those weeks where people, you know, hear the prediction. Morgan Stanley saying, you know, it may drop another 27%. This might be the event that makes people decide. It's like, you know, maybe we need to go ahead and do something a little bit more conservative. So for people who are in that position, is this a good week, this upcoming week, to call you, get started, come
over? I think so. Right now would be a really good week to make some decisions, to be conservative, to make sure that your money's going to be there when you need it. Now, let's say that they don't qualify. They can do annuities. Annuities are the best right now they've ever been. They're making more money than they've ever made. The policies have really changed on annuities. The annuities now are streamlined. They're more modern. They've got everything now in an annuity. So annuities are a really great investment one way or the other. Whether you're accredited or not, an annuity is still one of the best things out there.
Cool. And it's still independent from the stock market, so people can rest
assured. That's right. It's not involved, okay?
Awesome. All right, Faye, so for one last time, for people to call, make an appointment, get started. If they have questions, they can set up an appointment, and your number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.